greetings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. My name is Kevin Porter, and I am president of Lightbearers Ministries. And I'm making this tape for you today to try to impart to you and to try to help you to become what the Word of God says that you are to become, which is a minister of healing. That the Word of God says that we are to heal the sick, that we are to cleanse the lepers, that we're to raise the dead, that freely we have received, and now freely we are to give. And this is what the purpose of this four-tape set is to enable you, to give you the training, give you the teaching anyways, that will enable you to be an effective minister of Jesus Christ to the end that you can, that one of the aspects of your ministry is to minister healing. And I want to take this time now during these tapes to train you specifically in the ministry of healing so that you can walk in this and that you can bring God's healing power and authority wherever you go as a confirmation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if you're serious about becoming effective in ministering healing, then I can help you. See, if you're serious about learning to impart the gift of healing, and you're willing to do the exercises and take the steps that I lay out for you on these tapes, then you're going to become an effective minister in the ministry of healing. You are going to see signs, miracles, and wonders. Now, I don't care if you've never seen one before in your life. You can, if you're a believer in Jesus, I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here on this tape. If you're a believer in Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, that you speak in tongues, if you fit those two requirements, then you have all that you need outside from the Spirit. You know, from spiritually, you are ready to learn to minister healing effectively. If you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, then you can listen to these tapes and you can learn from them, but they won't be as efficacious to you as if you had received. And if you haven't received and you'd like for me to help you, I have a tape that I love to send out to people. It's called Receiving the Fullness of the Baptism, that you can request from Lightbearers Ministries, and we send it out free, and it will help you. And you'll sit down with that tape within 45 minutes of me teaching and praying with you. You'll be speaking in tongues. There's just no question about it. So, so with those two assumptions, first of all, that you're a believer in Jesus. Secondly, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're ready now to learn to become effective in the ministry of healing and praying for the sick. You see, I took a I wanted to be on the prayer team at our church, and you know, the Lightbearers is a parachurch ministry. We're not a church ourselves; we're a parachurch ministry, and establishing an apostolic network in Africa, but in the United States, especially, we're a parachurch ministry. And so, in our church, you have to sit through prayer team training in order to be on the prayer team. And I did that because I wanted to be on the prayer team, and I wanted to be able to pray for people in our church. And the message was like 45 minutes long, and the essence of the message was don't offend anybody, you know, don't offend anybody. They didn't teach me how to receive the gift of healing and then impart it to someone. See? They didn't teach me how to go to God for revelation on exactly what He wants to minister in that person's life, what He wants to heal that day, that hour, that moment, and then ministering that and then imparting that. No, all they taught me was, you know, say a nice prayer and don't offend anybody. See? Well, I'm not going to teach you that. I suspect you already know how to say a nice prayer and not offend anybody. I'm going to teach you how to go to God and get a gift of healing and then impart it to someone at that moment. See? And then impart it. You see, I want people to be changed after you lay hands on them. I want people's lives to be changed. God wants to change people's lives through you. Maybe that's a better way to put it. See? Because we're not just, you know, We're here to be effective. We need to make Jesus Christ relevant to the unsaved and to the lost. Everybody knows about the historical Jesus. Everybody knows about historical Christianity. They want to know what God can do. Everybody knows about the miracles that are in the Bible. They want to know about what God can do for them right now. And you and I are commissioned. We're called. We're authorized. We're energized. Hallelujah. With the authority of God to represent the throne of God and bring heaven down to earth. You know, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? If you went to heaven right now, you wouldn't see any sick people. Why? Because the will of God is done in heaven. That's in the same case, you wouldn't see any poor people because the will of God is done in heaven. And we are to pray that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to go to heaven spiritually in the sense of going to the throne of God and getting what we need to be able to give to people, to impart it into their lives so that they can have the healing, the deliverance, the blessing that God wants them to have. Hallelujah. And you and I, we can do this. We can do this. Now, preparation is the key. You see, when I went through that prayer training, I wasn't taught anything about preparation. And I think the average person, you know, comes to church and then, you know, they're asked to go up and pray for people at the end of church, and they haven't prayed, they haven't prepared their hearts, they haven't done anything. See? Maybe they, who knows what was happening in their life and their heart before they came to church. And so you come to church and you're hurt and you're wounded yourself, and then you're supposed to be able to pray for people. Well, what are you going to be imparting? What are you going to be? Whatever's in you is what's going to come out of you. See? And so we have to prepare our hearts. We have to learn how to prepare ourselves so that we can effectively minister. And I've heard so many times and so many tapes and lectures and conferences and everything else, preparation is the key to success. And that's exactly true. That's exactly true. Personal preparation, and then in a later tape, I'm going to teach you how to prepare the person themselves to receive the gift of God so that they can receive. See? You get your preparation right, you receive the anointing yourself, you learn how to prepare others to receive the blessing of God, and then the actual impartation is just the easiest thing in the world because you've already done all the groundwork. You've already laid the foundation. You've already done all the work that's necessary. Now it's just, you know, slam, bang, go for it. Hallelujah. It's all over but the shout. All right, bless God forever. Why? Because you've laid the foundation. You've done what you needed to do so that when it comes time to receive, people just receive. See? Bless God forever. Hallelujah. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Bless your heart. We're going to see some things here in the Word of God that will really help us. That'll help us to receive. It'll help us to see what the Word of God says. See? Here we go. Psalm 24. It says in verse 3, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? See, you got to go up to the hill of the Lord in order to receive the gifts of the Spirit. It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So you see, this is the first thing that I want to do is I want to make sure my heart's right. You know, I'm not ministering healing for self-recognition. I'm not ministering healing for money. I'm not prophesying over people in order to get recognition or to get money or to get a following or to get, you know, anything for myself. All that selfish stuff, that has to be laid aside. You see, you have to be delivered of it, actually. Because you have to have a pure heart. You have to have a pure heart. Your purpose is to bless, to bring the blessing of God to that person. You have no other ulterior motives. And if you have any other ulterior motives, then you need to lay those at the foot of the cross so that when you go to minister, your heart is right. so that you go to minister and then your heart is not cloudy, there's not confusion in there because of wrong motives or because of sin, see? I have to have clean hands. In other words, when I lay hands on somebody, I want to have a purity. I want to have a wholeness in my hands because the hands basically are the transmission points. They're the transmission points where you're putting the blessing of God into that person. Now, you don't have to lay hands on someone in order to minister a gift of healing. That's right. But so many times you do. And it talks in the Word about the laying on of hands. So those transmission points, they have to be clean. In other words, what's in my hands? What's in my heart? You know, I have to allow the Holy Spirit to search that. You know, we're not talking necessarily about physical, you know, uncleanness. Not at all. Even though it's good to, you know, wash your hands before and after you lay hands on people. But what we're talking about, that spiritual cleanness of that preparation, where my heart has been examined, where I have examined myself and the Holy Spirit's examined me and He's prepared me. See, my heart is right before the Father so that I'm going to, you know, if I'm addicted to something, I need to get cleansed of that addiction. If I'm addicted to alcohol, or if I'm addicted to cigarettes, if I'm addicted to pornography, or if I'm addicted to, you know, to sports or to a sports team or to something else, something other than God, I want to make sure that I'm cleansed of that, see? And I have to live a holy life to the greatest possible degree because what's in me is going to come out. What's in me is going to be imparted. This is why I'm very careful about who I allow to lay hands on me, because I want to have a witness in my heart that their heart's pure, that they're not going to try to impart to me something that's not of God. See? That's right. You be very careful about who lays hands on you. You know, you've had this happen before where somebody has put a hand on you and it just sent a shiver through you. Right? You know, and that wasn't God, and that wasn't godly. See, it just frightened you. It just startled you. It just gave you the creeps. And why? Because there was creepy things on that hand. That's right. On the other hand, you've been touched by someone and you've been healed. You've been touched by someone. You didn't just even inadvertently, because of the beauty and the pureness in their heart, they've touched you in love, and it's just brought blessing. See, it's what's in you that comes out. It's not, you know, talking about the, you know, whether you washed your hands or not. I mean, it's talking about what's the trend, what are you transmitting? These are the transmission points, these hands. So it's what's in your hands. It's what's in my hands. It's what am I transmitting? It's what am I imparting? See, I don't want to impart something evil, so I make sure that I go before the Lord for Him to examine me and for Him to deliver me and for Him to free me. So then I got clean hands. Then I got clean transmission points. And then I've got a pure heart. You know, my heart is to just bring glory to God and to help that person. See, that's all it is. You know, I'm not trying to make anybody look bad. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to climb over anybody. I'm not trying to build a reputation. I'm not trying to do any of that stuff. You see, you'll get a reputation. You'll get a reputation of being an effective minister of Jesus Christ. People will call you night and day because they want help, and they want to go somewhere where there is help. See, and this is especially true if you're a pastor. You know, you're a leader. You know, how do you get people to come to your church? Well, just bless the people who are there. See, if you bless them really good, then they'll come back and they'll tell their friends. See, this, you know, the secret to church growth is to have, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in your congregation, in your meetings. Bless God forever. And you love people. People go where they're loved. People go where they're healed. People go where they're helped. So this anointing of becoming an effective minister in the ministry of healing, you know, everybody needs healing. See, and if I was a pastor, if I was leading a church, this is how I'd do it. I'd start with a small group, and we just bless them really good. And then we'd keep them blessed, and then they'd come back, and they'd bring their friends. And before you know it, we got 100, 500, 1,000, 10,000 people. See? And so that's simply how it works. But you have clean hands, and you have a pure heart. Now, look at Galatians chapter 5. Bless your heart. This will tell us some more. here. It says, for in Christ Jesus, verse 6, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Galatians 5, 6. You know, my first experience after I got saved of ministering healing was, and I didn't know anything what I was doing, but I'd taken a believers, you know, new believers class. I got filled with the Spirit in December of 1971, and I took a new believers class in February of 1972, and I started reading Christian literature, and I read about how this guy laid hands on somebody and ministered healing to him. And I you know, as soon as I read it, I said, you know, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, I can do that. See? And I remember my friend, I was 16 years old, and we were in high school, and my friend and I were riding around on his motorcycle, and we went over to this young lady's house, who had just, she'd just come to our fellowship, like a week before or something like that. We started a fellowship in the high school, and her and her friend were Peaches and Cream. And this is Cream. You know, Peaches wasn't there, but this is Cream. And I go over to her house, and I get off the motorcycle, and I walk up to the front door, and I knock on the door, and Cream comes to the door. And she's on crutches, and she's got an ACE bandage around her left ankle. And I said, Cream, do you believe that God will heal you if I pray for you? And my friend says, well, you know, it doesn't work all the time. I said, shut up. I said, this was my big chance, because as soon as I'd heard about this, I wanted to do it. See? And so I said, Cream, I looked her in the eyes, and her eyes and her tears coming down her face. I said, Cream, do you believe that God will heal you if I pray for you? And she said, yes. And so I kneeled down, and I laid my hands on that ACE bandage, you know, and it was on the ankle. And I just instinctively commanded the ankle bones to come together in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the swelling to go down and the pain to go away in Jesus' name. That was all my prayer. And I look up at her, and her mouth is open, and her eyes are as big as can be, and she puts the crutches down, and she starts to hop and jump up and down on both feet, and she was healed instantly right at that moment by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you think that did for her? Not only did bless her and heal her ankle, but she, you know, she came to the Lord out of that. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. And here I was, only 16 years old, just a brand new believer myself. So I know that this truth of healing, it's not about just you being a pastor. It's not about you being some, you know, great, mature believer. But it's just about you walking in love and seeking to help someone else. You got clean hands, pure heart, and God works with that. God works with that and enables you to bring heaven down to earth and bring blessing wherever you go. You know, I was just in, just a few months ago, I was in Kenya, and I was, I regular ministry to Kenya. I travel all over Africa. And I was in a pastor's conference with my friend, Bishop Peter Gachar, Pastor Peter Gachar. I call him the bishop because he's over about 100 churches, but he doesn't call himself a bishop. But anyways, and I was with about 40 of his pastors and their wives, and there was a pastor's wife there. And nobody knew about this. Nobody except Peter and obviously the pastor and then his wife. There was a woman there who had a dreaded disease, had a terrible disease, and nobody knew about it. And I was teaching one day during the seminar, and the Holy Spirit pointed her out to me and said to me, showed me, that he wanted to heal her. So what I did was, I didn't do anything. I just closed my Bible, you know, I just laid my Bible to the side. I walked up to where she was, and I didn't ask her. I just laid my hands on her. I commanded the power of God to come upon her, and then I walked back down and started teaching again. Well, the next day she comes to the conference, and she's all beaming, and she sends a note up to the front. She asks if she can come and testify, because I said, come on up, and she proceeds to tell us that she had a breast cancer, that she was going to have an operation. And as soon as she got into the operating room, that means they were preparing her for the operation, and this was in a Kenyan hospital, the Holy Spirit said, if you go through the operation, you're going to die. See? And so she realized that she needed to just go home and that God was going to do something. And then she came to this conference, and she said she was in such pain from this cancer of the breast that she couldn't sleep at night. She literally, this thing was open, it was oozing, and it was, it was a bad situation. And she was in such pain that she couldn't lay down. She had to sit up and try to sleep at night. She said that when I laid hands on her, the power of God went through her like lightning, like lightning, just like a lightning bolt. And she, the pain was gone instantly. The pain was gone instantly. She said that night she had the best sleep she had had in months. Now, I went back, this was in January. I went back about 4 months later, and I visited her and her husband in her church, and she said then that it was gone, the cancer was gone, there was not even a scar left where this thing had been. Hallelujah. You see, so I know a little bit of what I'm talking about when it comes to effectively ministering healing. And I got story after story after story I can tell you. See? But it says in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6 says, for faith which works through love. You see, this is why you have to have a pure heart. Because if you don't have a pure heart, then you're not going to have pure love. You see, if your heart's defiled, or if your heart's divided, or if your heart is not really concerned with the love of God, really concerned with that person, then your faith is not going to be very powerful. Because you see, faith is energized through love. In other words, I love God. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I love His people, and I desire to bring the reality of the healing Christ to them. See, right now, according to what God wants to do. So, that's my attitude. That's my approach, is that my heart is right, my hands are clean, and my love is at the place where it needs to be, because that love will energize my faith. So, let me show you something else. In Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verse of Scripture, it says, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you're going to have to learn that it's not all Christ and it's not all you. It's you and Christ working together. You see, you know the word supernatural? It's a compound word. It's got super and then it's got natural. God is the super and you're the natural. And when the super and the natural work together, then something supernatural happens. See? When you get the super and the natural together to where they're in sync, where they're flowing together, where they're moving together, then something supernatural happens. See? And this is the whole key, is to get you as the natural in line with the super, who is God, in that moment, in that situation, so that you and He work together to bring His will into pass. See? That's right. And the attitude is that I can do. Say, I can do all things. Say that. Say that right now. And I want you to keep saying it all the way through this tape series. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, this is the attitude. This is the approach. This is laying the foundation of understanding of what is necessary for you and I to be able to walk in this healing anointing. This is what is necessary for you to be able to walk in the power of God. See, you have to have a clean hands. You have to have a pure heart. You have to have your love at the right level and on the right place. And if you have a pure heart, your love will be there. See, and then you approach every person, every situation with this I can do all things through Christ attitude. I can do all things through Christ. That when this, I'm the natural, He's the super, I'm going to come into alignment with Him, and we are going to accomplish His will, whatever it is in that situation. And you're going to find out something. you're going to find out that you can't be presumptuous about the will of God in any situation. You can't just assume what God is going to do and what He wants to do. You have to learn to wait on Him because He's God, first of all. And if you don't have His cooperation, you're not going to get anywhere. But secondly, He's the great judge of all men's hearts. That's right. He knows the level of faith. He knows all the variables that are involved that you and I don't know. And this is why He will say, I want to do this, but I'm not going to do this. Or I want to do this, but I'm not going to do that. Or I want to do it all, see? But only in this order, in this progression. See, God has a purpose for everything that He does. He knows why He does it. He knows how He's going to do it. And you and I simply have to follow Him when we can't be presumptuous to know what He wants to do before He has told us specifically what He wants to do in that situation. See? You see a man in a wheelchair. You presume God wants him to get him out of the wheelchair. Well, yes, God does want to get him out of the wheelchair. But there has to be the right, there has to be the right time. It has to be the right place. All the factors have to line up. And you and I, even with our best sense knowledge and spiritual sense and insight, we may not know all the factors that are involved. See? I've seen healings. I've healed people. I've gotten people out of wheelchairs. But then other people in other wheelchairs I haven't gotten out of. See? Why? Why? Because of different parameters. Because of different... You know, God's the same, but people are different. That's right. And the situations that you find yourself are in are different. That's right. And you have to learn to meet the criteria of what God sets so that His power can be released. But in every situation, you can walk in love. In every situation, you can walk in love. In every situation, you can do the best that is available that God gives you at that moment. See? I'll teach you about this later when it comes to imparting healing. Sometimes you get a total healing. Other times you only get a partial healing because there has to be other things that need to be done step by step in order to get that person's full healing. See? This is right. I ministered to a woman one time. I was called to the hospital. And there was a young girl who was in our church. And she had just been crushed. Her body had just been crushed in a car accident. Just like an accordion. Just whoosh. And she was about 16 years old. And the doctor said, she was in a coma. She was, they said she'd never come out of the coma. She said if she came out of the coma, she's going to be brain dead. She was, if she wasn't brain dead, then she'd be brain damaged. They just had, every negative thing that they could possibly say about this woman. If she possibly recovered to this point, well, she'd be this like this for the rest of her life. Well, the first time that I ministered to her, I went into the ICU, it's the intensive care unit there at the hospital, and she was laying on a bed, and she was trembling. Her whole body was trembling, and the Holy Spirit said her brain is swelling. And so and she was in a coma. She was not conscious at all. Couldn't breathe. She was on a ventilator, breathing for her. Her eyes were closed. She was not conscious, and her whole body was trembling. And the Holy Spirit said her brain is swelling. You just spoke that in my spirit. He said her brain is swelling. And I said, okay, brain, I command you to quit swelling in Jesus' name. I said this out loud. People heard me. And as soon as I said that, she quit trembling. She quit trembling. And very shortly after that, within a couple of hours, she came out of the coma. Hallelujah. Now, the doctor said she may never come out of the coma because of the extent of her damage. But then, I ministered to her. Her brain quit swelling, apparently, because we saw the immediate reaction in her physical body. And then very shortly after that, she came out of the coma. And then I ministered to her four times throughout the course of the next month. Each time, the doctors had gotten to the place where they said, well, she's, her hips are crushed. She'll never walk again. Everything that they said, God overruled. See, as I minister. Each time they said they got to the place where they couldn't do anymore and they said there's nothing's going to help her, that God overruled that and healed her. To the end, a month after she went in there, month, month to 6 weeks at the most after she went in there, she walked out of that. She walked out of that hospital a whole, sound, normal, healthy teenage girl once again. Hallelujah. And at every stage, the doctors had said, she'll never heal, she'll never recover, she'll never do this, she'll never do that. See, you got to approach every situation with the attitude that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you're not presumptuous, but you wait on God to show you exactly what He wants to do in that situation so that you can do the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're going to start to understand some things about the spirit of man and about the Holy Spirit's working in the spirit of man, because this is your source of strength and power. It says, not by might nor by more by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit at the time of the new birth, the Word of God says. It's Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. See? It's the Spirit of the Lord in you. And He's in your spirit. Now, the power of God comes upon you. There's a difference between in and upon. The power of God comes upon your spirit to the end that your spirit is built up enough or strong enough to handle that power or that anointing. This is why some Christians are very powerful, some Christians have very little power. Why? Because one Christian has had their spirit built up enough, strengthened enough, and it's pure enough that it can handle a strong anointing of the Holy Spirit, and others just haven't. Either through sin or through ignorance or through whatever, their spirits haven't been built up, and consequently they're not able to walk in a very strong anointing. Jesus had the Spirit without measure because of the perfect strength and the pureness of His Spirit. Okay. Now look at verse 34. It says, "For He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." To Him, in other words. Verse 34 of John chapter 4. To you and I, we get a measure of faith, the Word of God says in Romans 12:3. We get the Spirit by measure. Now, what this means is I have to get my spirit strengthened. I have to get my spirit edified. I have to get it cleansed, and I have to get it edified. I have to get it built up so that it can handle more of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Hallelujah. That's right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Bless God. This will help you tremendously to walk in the power of God, is to understand that your spirit can only be anointed to the end that your spirit is strong enough to carry that anointing. That's right. You know, you have all the potential within you to walk in the power of God, but you'll only walk in the power of God to the end that your spirit is strong enough to handle that anointing. This is why the first gift of the Spirit, generally speaking, that comes to a believer in manifestation is the gift of speaking in tongues. This is, you know, this the precedent was set in Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost and for the Jews. And then it was set in Acts chapter 10 for the Gentiles. And again, both times, they spoke in tongues. This is the first gift that came into manifestation. And why is that? It's because speaking in tongues is the one gift of the Spirit that you can operate by your will. See? That you can operate by your will. That's right. You can't operate the other gifts of the Spirit by your will. They only come as the Holy Spirit enables you. If they come by His will. That's right. Now, you can influence His will by your faith. That's right. And God's more interested in giving the gifts of the Spirit than you are many times in receiving them. But they come by faith. See? They come by faith. Now, But the one gift of the Spirit that you can operate at any time by your will, once you've received it, is speaking in tongues. And the purpose for that is that it's prayer to God, it's worship to God, it's praise to God, but it also has benefit directly to you in that you are built up. In verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds himself up. Now, what part of me gets built up? My mind doesn't get built up. It says in verse 14 that when you speak in tongues, your mind is not edified. Your understanding is unfruitful. Your mind's not built up. So it doesn't build up my physical body. You know, it affects my physical body to the end that it strengthens my spirit. My spirit is what keeps my physical body alive, but it doesn't directly affect my physical body. It doesn't edify my physical body. I don't get stronger. You know, I get stronger by doing push-ups. Hallelujah. I don't get stronger by speaking in tongues in my physical body. But what it does is it edifies or builds up my spirit. And we've proven this time after time after time after time. If you will spend time speaking in tongues, you will get edified in your spirit. And your spirit will become stronger. And the anointing that God is able to put on you will become stronger. See, I teach my people, I teach my students to pray in tongues out loud the first hour of every day. You're just walking, you know, you're walking to the bathroom, whatever. You're fixing your coffee. You're outside, you know, picking up the newspaper. And you're, and you're just going along. You're just doing your little morning thing. See? And if you'll do that faithfully, or, you know, what I really try to get people to do is to get out and get by themselves. And get away from the TV, get away from the kids, get away from the dog, get away from the house and you know, Fox News or whatever else. You know, and just get away from all that and just pray in tongues out loud and get along with the Lord. See, and pray in tongues. But if you can do that, I teach, if you'll do it for an hour a day, you begin to get rolling, you get flowing in the Spirit, then it will edify you. Plus, it'll keep you, you'll keep going the rest of the day. See? Because what happens is, when you speak in tongues, especially early in the morning, you know, you've got a lot of things on your mind. And generally, it may take you 15 to 20 minutes to kind of get your soul quieted down. Because your soul will say, well, you need to read the newspaper. Or, well, you need to call this person. Or, well, you need to plan this. Or, well, you need to do that. See? And it'll try to get you distracted from the thing that you really need to do, which is to pray and to have communion with God through speaking in tongues. See? So, what you have to do is you have to fight through that. You have to fight through it, and you fight through it, and you get, and then you kind of shift gears. You know, you get that first 15, 20 minutes, and you're just fighting your way through this, your soulish baloney, and then after about 15, 20 minutes, you get to a place where you just kind of shift gears, and you start to really flow. You start to really flow in that tongue. See, and for some of you, it may take you, you know, it might take you only 2 minutes, might only take you 5 minutes. See, I'm talking 15, 20 minutes as a general average of what it takes for people to get their soul quieted down enough to where they can really begin to flow in the Spirit. See, and then when your soul quiets down and you're really flowing in the Spirit, this is when God can really speak to you and really talk to you and really give you not only tongues, but He can give you interpretation, He can give you a word of knowledge, He can give you faith, He can give you what you need for that day. See? He can give you wisdom and instruction so that you're ready to handle that day. But if you miss that time, then you go into your day and you're not prepared. You go into, you miss that time of prayer, you miss that time of speaking in tongues, and even during this time when you're speaking in tongues, you can be reading your Bible, see? Because you're edifying your spirit and bypasses your understanding. You can be doing different things, but you want to be doing something that's godly, something that's a blessing, something that edifies your faith. Something that builds up your mind. See, like reading the Word of God. And so you can do these two things, and you'll be prepared for the day. You'll be prepared for those things that come up. Why? Because your spirit is edified. See, and if you've been praying in tongues faithfully throughout the week, when you get to Sunday morning service, boy, you're going to be a ball of fire. You're gonna be loaded with the power of God, just ready to bless and touch anybody. You know, your shadow is gonna heal people. Hallelujah! People are gonna, you know, they're gonna brush into you, and the power of God's gonna come out and heal them. See, that those things will happen. See, I've just been so full of the power of God at times where I just touched people, I just bumped into them, and they got healed. Why? Because the power of God was in me, and I touched them, I imparted to them, and they received, and they got healed. See? So, you know, the thing to do is to get built up. You don't want to put God in the box, but the thing to do is to get built up, to get built up in the Spirit. See? So that you're ready to go, so that you're equipped, so that you're empowered, so that you're full of the life of God, so that you're flowing in the river of God. Bless God forever. Now, turn the tape over.